2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God, for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Heavenly Father, it's been a precious portion of Scripture to me this week, and I pray, Lord, that some of that has overflowed into our church this morning and then tonight. Thank you again for this wonderful season, this thankful giving season, Lord. And I pray that you would just teach us, Lord, the secrets to the blessings of God. And, Lord, that we would better know ways to please you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Just go over what we covered this morning quickly. I won't go through all of the introduction, but we see here that Paul is basically covering in this portion of Scripture how we can live a blessed Christian life. He produces a hypothesis. The Christian life is achieved through a life of thankful giving. And I'm not saying thanksgiving on purpose. I want to reword it to get us thinking properly about it. Let me say that again. The blessed Christian life is achieved through a life of thankful giving. He then urges the Church of Corinth to prove this hypothesis by conducting the experiment of ministration. Now, ministration means to serve or to give. So we're not only talking about the giving of our finances, but also the giving of our life, the giving of our time, those valuable commodities, our talents. What Paul is challenging the church members to do is engage in a life of thankful giving and cheerful sacrifice. And he says, why don't you do that and prove this hypothesis? And I mentioned this morning, but God does not mind being tested, being proved when it comes to this matter of giving. He challenges us to in Malachi chapter 3. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, for there shall not be room enough to receive it. He said, I want you to prove me. I'm challenging you to prove me in this area. And so he said, this is the experience. He said, I want you to conduct an experiment to see whether or not this hypothesis is true or not. And this experiment is the experiment of ministration. It means, why don't we just decide to live our lives giving and serving and investing in others, and see whether or not that does not lead us to the blessed Christian life. Now, I pointed out three main things this morning. First of all, God gives us blessings. All blessings come from God. Every good gift, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. We could stop each and every one of us and take inventory of 2019 up to this point. And every single one of us, if we were thoughtful and we properly meditated and we opened our eyes, would be able to stand up and account again and again the blessings of Almighty God upon our life. So God is the one that gives us the blessings. Then I mentioned this. God then grades us according to the blessings we receive. Now, what does that mean, preacher? That means that God not only gives us the blessings. So here he bestows blessings upon us. and he does so generously, and he spoils his children, but then he has a right, since he's the one supplying the blessings, then to grade us according to the blessings we receive. And I walked to the pulpit with a report card this morning, for those of you that weren't here, 2019 Thankful Giving Report Card. So God's going to present this to us at the end of the year. And here he's going to grade us in three very distinct areas. He's going to, first of all, grade us up according to our thankfulness. All right, God blesses us and blesses us and blesses us. And then you know what he does? He steps back and says, are they thankful for it? And can I say this, folks? The vast majority of Americans are blessed by God every single day, and yet in return, the only time they mention God is to blaspheme his name or use it as a curse word. And you know what? Can I just say that? That's a wicked thing to do. It's a wicked, horrible thing to do. The Bible says that we ought not to use the Lord's name in vain. It goes on to say, for God will not hold him guiltless which taketh his name in vain. And here God supplies blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And you know what he does? He leans down and listens, and he says, are they even thankful for all of the good things that I've done for them? And I hate to say this, but the average American gets an F- in thankfulness. I expect that out of lost people, but folks, could I say this? As born-again Christians, we ought to know better than that, and we ought to give God something better than what lost people are giving. And so God blesses us, and he chooses how much to bless us, and then he steps back and says, I want to grade them, first of all, according to thankfulness. So here's the report card, and the first one says thankfulness, and he just gives you a grade depending on how thankful you are truly in your heart, how often you express to him with your lips in prayer how much you are thankful for what God has done for you. And so he grades our thankfulness. Number two, he grades our stewardship. What does that mean? That means he then not only sees how thankful we are, so he's gauging that and grading that, but now he's going to look and see, I'm going to give you a grade concerning your stewardship, or what you do with what I've given you. So are you thankful for what I've given you? That's your first score. What are you going to do with what I've given you? Now, I drew your attention, and this is worth reviewing. In verse 9, notice this, verse 9 and verse number 10 of the text we read. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, that's God who supplies each of us the seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now folks, that list of three things there is so important. So God that ministereth seed, and the blessings are compared to seed. And he's given us seed. He said, I'm giving it to you with the intent of you being a sower. But I understand that you need to take care of your family. So he's going to grade us in three different areas when it comes to stewardship. He says, first of all, I've given you seed. Are you taking care of your family? He said this, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. Now I mentioned this morning. But you know what God does when he takes care of us and the blessings that he gives us? He is perfectly fine with us taking a portion of that and making sure that we take care of our own. Bible says that if you don't take care of your own, you're worse than an infidel. And you know what? I think God takes pleasure in the fact that he takes good care of his children. And he wants dads and moms to take good care of their children. And you know what? I think we all ought to do this. Listen, I rejoice when God blesses you. And I rejoice. Listen, it's not a wrong thing to take a portion of the blessings of God upon your life and make sure that your wife is taken care of. Make sure that your children have what they need. And make sure that your needs are supplies. And you know what? God does so much more than our needs. He blesses us. He spoils us. And I think he's fine with that. He understands that a portion of what he gives us, we are to use to take care of our own. But wait a minute, doesn't stop there. He goes on to say in verse number 10, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, comma, and multiply your seed sown. So he's going to give you a certain amount of blessings. And again, this isn't just financial blessings. You know what? This is health. How about this? Isn't good health a blessing? So God gives me, let's say, 2019, really good health. And you know what? He says, it's okay that you use your health to work to help supply for your family. But wait a minute, what else are you going to do with that health I've given you? Okay, what am I going to do? That's a blessing, by the way. Good health is a blessing. Talk to some folks that don't have good health. Talk to some folks that are going through some things. I'm going to tell you, one of the things that we take for granted until we don't have it is our health. And so God says, I've blessed you with good health in 2019. Hey, young men, I've given you strength. Hey, young ladies, I've given you strength and good health. So what are you going to do with it? Well, hopefully you're using that health and strength to work and provide for your family. And then secondly, he said, but what else are you going to do with it? And here we talk about this matter of sowing seed, multiplying the seed sown. So whether it's finances, you take them and provide it. So you take care of your family, provide a certain amount. But wait a minute, what are you going to do with the abundance? Are you going to sow that seed? Are you going to look for opportunities to be a blessing? Are you going to be faithful in giving tithes and offerings? And then as God moves in your heart and directs you, do you have a giving, willing spirit? You know, we were talking about this at lunchtime. And folks, I don't know what else to say except try to sell you on it one more time. And I think a lot of our church gets it. I think some of you need to get it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're stingy and you're selfish and you don't have a giving spirit, a giving heart, you're your own worst enemy, and you're missing out on the greatest life that there can be. I mean that. I mean, you don't know the joy of just entering into every day just saying, Lord, show me. I mean, show me where I can be a blessing. Show me who I can encourage. Lord, what of your stuff that you've lent me for a while do I need to pass on and move on to somebody that has a need? And just to have your intent to give, I mean, it's an exciting way to live. It is an exciting way to live. Now, watch this because it's important in this verse. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food. God's okay with that, but he doesn't say he'll multiply it. Then he says, and multiply the seed sown. So, remember this. 2019, we're going to get a report card. And God, I promise you, is grading us on all of the blessings he's given us for an entire year, and are we thankful for it? What is the real grade? Come on, help God grade you. Let the Holy Spirit help you right now. And what have you done with it? Okay, have you been generous in your heart? Have you been willing to give? Have you been willing to support? Have you been willing to give to missions? Are you faithful in tithes and offerings? When there's a need in the church, and you preacher, but if I had it, I'm tired of people telling me what they would do if they only had it. Okay, you know what? God is not going to increase and multiply your seed based on if you only had it, you'd give. What do you have, and are you willing to sacrificially be a blessing and share in people's life? Man, that's a great way to live. I'm just going to try to sell it one more time. But I'm telling you, it's the best way in the world to live. And then I mentioned this. The other thing that he talks about in that portion of Scripture is also multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So folks, when God gives us these blessings, he wants us to provide for our own, bread for your food, that's fine. And then seed to be sown as God directs you, a willing heart to be able to pass on some of the abundance. But make sure that while you're passing on that abundance, you're making wise investment that produces righteousness. And I won't re-preach that. But boy, if you weren't here, you need to hear the warnings that I gave this morning. Okay, make sure if you're going to take God's blessings and you're going to pass them on to somebody to be a blessing, that is producing righteousness. I've decided a long time ago, I'm not interested in supporting evil. I'm not interested in supporting wickedness. I won't give to any organization that finds a way through a back door to funnel money to something that's ungodly. You better start checking out some of these charities that some of you are giving to and really figure out where that money's going. If it's going to support the murder of unborn babies, listen, what you better do is get your money out of that, because you're bringing a curse upon yourself, not a blessing upon yourself, okay? And then the last thing is he grades our cheerfulness. And so here's the last one right here. Thankfulness, stewardship, and cheerfulness. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And I condensed this morning's message in about a 10-minute review there. So when God every year pours out blessings day after day, week after week, whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's certain resources, whether it's talents that you have, whatever, you know what then? He looks, first of all, are you thankful for it? That's a big deal to God.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. You let thankfulness die in your heart, you're done as a Christian. I promise you. The people that will quit on God and quit church will always quit being thankful before they quit God, quit on God and quit church. If thankfulness has died in your heart, I mean, you know, it's the last time you got on your knees and just looked up, wiped the tears away and said, God, you've been so good. I don't deserve it. Thank you for your goodness. I hope every single meal, don't tell me there's anybody in here that sits down, starts shoving food in your mouth, and don't have the decency to bow your head and thank God, the one who provided that food for you. I think God is tiring of America's lack of gratitude.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to look right up here. I'm going to help all of you. In Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need a revival of thankfulness. Way too many things are just taken for granted. Way too many people are just taken for granted. We need to start saying in the rest of 2019 and 2020 or 2020, we need to say, you know what? We need a revival of just having an appreciation for what God and other people do for us every single day. I'll tell you, this will help your marriage if you get the revival of thankfulness. Stop taking your wife for granted. Stop taking your husband for granted. Stop taking your children for granted. Kids, stop taking mom and dad for granted. Okay, you need a thankful spirit for everything that your mother does for you every single day, which is a lot more than most of you are aware of.
Yes, sir.
And you need a thankfulness. Stop grumbling about your dad. I'm tired of hearing young people grumble about their dad. Well, he just don't spend enough time with us. Well, where do you think he's at? He's out there working a job so that he can take care of you. I mean, you need to take your grumbling spirit, take it to an old-fashioned altar, repent of it, get right with God, and leave the altar changed with a thankfulness in your heart for everybody that invests in you every single day. And we could go on and on. But folks, listen, God supplies us these blessings, then he stops and he says, okay, are they thankful? Are they like the 9 lepers that never came back and said thank you? Or are they the Christian that every single time I send something in their life, you know what? I'm going to get a thank you. Hey, I don't know about you, but if I'm giving something to somebody and every time I do, I get a thank you, and I'm giving something to somebody else and I never give it a thank you, I'm just telling you flat out who's probably going to get more.
Right.
Who I'm more excited to help.
Right.
Okay, I'm just telling you, we're made in the image of God. And so, you know what? God says, I want to grade your thankfulness. Then, I want to see on what, all right, are you thankful for all the things I've given you? Are you a good steward? So let me take a look at that, all right? Do you take care of your own? That's important. Folks, listen to me. The first line of help ought to always be family. If a person's going through a crisis, a lot of times they want to run past the family and run to the church and say, well, the church ought to help me. No, your family ought to help you. And you know what? If somebody in my family has a need, it's my job to pitch in and help with that need.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Come on now.
Yes, sir.
And more people are refusing to take care of their own. They're refusing to help their own. They act like it's not their... Listen, it's our responsibility to take care of our families. All right? And so, you know what? You take care of... So here's the blessings. Are we thankful? Here's the blessings. All right, are we taking care of our own properly? And then what are we doing with the abundance? Are we willing to sow that? Are we willing to give that? Are we sowing sparingly or are we sowing bountifully? Because the Bible says you're going to reap according to how you sow. So if you sow sparingly, don't be surprised if in 2020, we're going to talk about this, but God says, you know what, I'm going to multiply the seed that's sown. He didn't say I'll multiply the money that's spent on taking care of your own. That's a given.
Right.
What I gauge my increases on, my blessings on, is the seed sown. You know, we talked about health a minute ago. You know, there's a man, a rich man, that became deathly ill. He called Charles Finney and asked him to come pray for him. And he could go left or right. He's on his deathbed, but he's scared. His health is deteriorated. He calls the evangelist, Charles Finney, a very wealthy man. He said, Brother Finney, please pray to God that he'd heal me. Please pray to God that he'd heal me. And Charles Finney leaned over into his bed and said, Sir, why should I pray that? What have you done for God in the last year? You've been blessed beyond measure. You have resources most people can only dream of. Have you helped a widow? Have you helped an orphan? Have you attended the house of God and contributed to the work of God? He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, sir. I'm going to pray that God heals you, but I'm only pray that God heals you if you agree to rise up from that bed and show appreciation to God by beginning to be generous with what he's given you. You say, that's harsh. I don't think it's harsh at all. I don't think it's harsh. Lord, preacher, pray that my health is good. Well, I don't know. What are you going to do with it if it is? What are you going to do with it? All right, you going to work and providing for your own? Are you willing to work for the Lord and serve the Lord? And if you're not, why should God keep making the investment? Come on now. This is good for us. And then God looks at our cheerfulness. So he says, I'm going to give you, pour out the blessings, and all good blessings come from God. And then I'm going to look at your thankfulness, and I'm going to give you a score. And then I'm going to look at your stewardship. Are you taking care of your own? And then are you willing to sow as the Holy Spirit directs you in the abundance that I've given you? And then also, are you those investments in righteousness? Or are you investing in evil or people? I said, preacher, I would give more to the church, but I've got to help family members. I got so many family members that need help, and I got to bail them out. And wait a minute. Can I ask you a question? Are they living for God? So then why are you sending meals to the pig pen? But they're family. Yeah, I know they're family. I talked about taking care of family, but I also talked about investing the abundance in that which produces righteousness. You know, we've got a situation, I can't talk about everything that's going on, but we've got a situation going on just today. And you know, somebody reaching out to church members and to the preacher, and they want bailed out again. And our church has bailed them out and bailed them out and bailed them out. And you know what? They don't want to darken the church door. They don't want to do right. They don't want to live right. But every time they hit a crisis, all of a sudden, and I told the lady on the phone today, I said, you need to stop treating God like a spare tire.
That's right.
That you just pull out once you have a flat.
That's right.
I said, you start treating him like the steering wheel. Okay, God's supposed to be the steering wheel, not the spare tire in the trunk that you just pull out when there's an emergency. And you know what? I'm sorry, but after a while, I've invested, and you know what? You've given me no reason to keep investing. Now, folks, I think that that's kind of the way God looks at the whole situation here. So he said, let me check out their thankfulness. I'm going to give them a grade. Let me check out their stewardship. I'm going to give them a grade. Let me check out their cheerfulness, and I'm going to give them a grade. Now, folks, listen to me. I want good grades. I want a good report card. Okay, remember when I was growing up and attended the church over in Brazil, Indiana. I was in elementary school. We'd get our report card. And sometimes I'd look at it like this in the classroom, and then I'd hide it in a folder somewhere. And I'd stick it in one of my notebooks, and I'd try to smuggle it home. And if any of the kids on the bus asked to see my report card, then I wouldn't show it to them. And I prayed, oh God, please help my parents to forget that report cards were coming, you know. And you know why? Because I was ashamed of it. There were other times when I got my report card. You know what I did? I went, ha, ha, yeah. And when I got on the bus, I said, hey, can I see your report card? You want to see mine? You want to see my report card? I walk in, Mom, Dad, you got to see this. You know what? I want to get a good report card from the Lord when it comes to this thankful giving. And let me just give you real quickly, a few reasons why. Preacher, why should this matter to me as a Christian? Why should I want to make straight A's when it comes to thankful giving? Number one, I want to be like my Heavenly Father. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And folks, you know what? Just like God is so generous to me and lives and is so willing to gladly bestow blessings upon me, I want to mimic that attribute of him in the way that I live my life. First of all, I want to be thankful for what he's given me. And then I want to say, Lord, I'm going to take a portion of this and make sure that I take care of my own, because you would have me do that. But then, Lord, I've got this other stuff that you blessed me with, and I'm just looking for a reason to be a blessing. How can I be a blessing? What can I do to be a blessing to other people? And Lord, I want to be a blessing to my church. I want to be a blessing to the missionaries. And Lord, I just want to be a blessing as I'm sensitive and led by the Spirit, and I see this need or this family going through a tough time or somebody that needs some assistance. Lord, just tap my heart and just say, you know what, I want you to help them. And you know, I want to do that. Because why do you want to do that? Because that's how God is with me. And folks, listen to me. When God sees me living godly, what does it mean to live godly? It means there's some attributes of God I can't mimic. Okay, I can't be omniscient. I can't be sinless. There's some things that's only God. But there's some things about him that I can reproduce in my life. And one of them is his generosity. And you know what? If God has been so good to me, when he taps me on the shoulder, taps me on the heart, and says, I want you to be a blessing to this person right here, I don't only want to do it, I want to be cheerful about it. So I want to be like my Heavenly Father. Number two, I want to please my Heavenly Father. Look, if you will, in verse number 6 and 7, again in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, for this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Watch this. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Look at this. For God loveth a cheerful giver. You say, well, preacher, God loves everybody. Okay, I'm going to say this. Listen real close. God loves everybody, but he loves some of them more than others. Yeah, excuse me. Why would he say God loveth a cheerful giver? Okay, he loves us all, but buddy, when it comes to somebody that's a cheerful giver, he loves them more than he loves the stingy, selfish Christian. Or why would he say that? Why bother to write about how much he loves them if there is not an added measure of love towards somebody that's a cheerful giver? And I can't help but look at that and think, isn't God good? Listen, I'm just going to say it. I want to be one of God's special ones. And maybe you're just satisfied with just being saved, just getting in the door. But you know what? I want to be the one that when God looks around and he says, man, alive, you know, it's blessing time. You know what? I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to hook up Brother Jared. I'm going to take care of him. You know what? Because when I pour on the blessings to him, he just has such a thankful heart, and he's so careful with what he does, and he's so willing to be led by the Spirit. And every time he has the chance to help somebody else, he doesn't go home and cry and whine about it. That's the happiest day of his week, is when he has an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, and listen, folks, think about this. God's looking down, and he's so good to all of us. I mean, folks, come on. Rain falls upon the just and the unjust alike. He takes care of atheists. He makes sure that he feeds unbelievers and agnostics. He takes care of us backslidden Christians. He takes care of us. Even in our disobedience. We didn't starve to death. And I think God's like, because of his nature, he wants to be good. He is good. But I think when he finally looks down and finds somebody that the more he pours out the blessing, the more the thankfulness comes. And the more blessings that come, the more careful they are and generous they are to distribute according to the leading of the Spirit of God. And every time they get an opportunity, they're cheerful. I just think God says, you know what? This is fun. Because you know what? They're getting it. See, they're looking at what I'm doing for them, and they're saying, God, if you can do that much for me, what can I do for somebody else? Instead of me, more for me. You know, so God's looking for someone that will live their life, to take your health and to invest it in God's work and in other people, to take your talents and invest it, to take your time and invest it. I want to please my Heavenly Father. Number three, I want to be trusted by my Heavenly Father. I want to be trusted by my Heavenly Father. We read this, but it says in God, look at verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Think about that. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, why? May abound to what? Are you getting this? All right, am I up here by myself? Everybody, are you awake? You getting this? God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So God could turn the faucet on all the way high. Okay, he can. Why? That ye, always having all sufficiency in all things. That's what I want. Lord, if you could just give me all sufficiency in all things. That's what I want. And God says, why do you want it? Why do you want it? So you can buy more for yourself? So you can have more toys? So you can take more trips? So you can have more fun? He says this. Listen, always having all sufficiency in all things. Why? May abound to every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So listen, folks, God takes care of his children, and God even spoils his children, but God doesn't want them to get spoiled. He's teaching them a giving heart and a giving spirit. And so I want God to be able to trust me. I want God to say, listen, if I need to get resources to an individual, I know who will be a conduit. Folks, listen, you know what we need to be? We need to be a river, not a Dead Sea.
Yes, sir.
Everything that goes into the Dead Sea stays there and dies. But you know what? What we need to be is, listen, you know what God will do? God, here, I hope you not, if you forget the message, I hope you don't forget what you're going to see next. Here's what a lot of Christians do. Thank you, Lord. 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 God's kind of like, really? And at some point, it's like, Lord, come on. Come on. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord. And God's kind of like, really? Now, let me tell you, at some point, that's going to slow it way down to a trickle. But let me tell you how you keep it coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's how it works.
It is how it works. Folks, this is King James Holy Bible. This is as much Bible as salvation by grace, as much Bible as the blood of Jesus Christ. This is as much Bible as the doctrine of the Trinity. And why do we say we believe all those things, but we won't buy into this? And so I want to help you. What is Thanksgiving? Preacher, what does it even mean? You say the word Thanksgiving to the average American, they just think, oh good, football and turkey and a day off work. They don't understand that Thanksgiving is giving prompted by a thankful spirit where we see how good God's been to us and we want to mimic that in our lives. How many of you get encouragement from the Lord? You ever read the Bible and just get encouragement from the Lord? So God blesses me with encouragement. Do you realize even in the blessing of encouragement, he encourages, 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 and encourages, and encourages, and encourages, and at some point he's like, what are you going to encourage somebody else? We're not talking about just money. I know we're Americans, materialistic. I mean, we've been ruined. So you can't talk about blessings without people thinking about a bank account.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, really. Yeah. But most of the blessings that we receive from God has no monetary value. But you know what? It feeds our soul and it helps us. It feeds our spirit. And so whatever we receive from God, God gives, everybody wants the peace that passeth all understanding. Well, let me ask you this. Jesus also said, blessed are the peacemakers. We want God to give us peace, and then we want to create chaos. And God's like, you want the peace of God? You want the peace of God? You want the peace of God? When's the last time you've passed on a little peace? You want encouragement? Encouragement. When's the last time you encouraged somebody? You want blessings and blessings? Go find someone to be a blessing to. And I'll tell you, it's the grandest way to live. And many of you know that. I'm preaching to the choir for the vast majority of you. We've got older folks in this church all over the place that have spent their life living like this. Another one's not in their head. You know why? Because they know it works and they know it's true. And you know what? At the end of your life, God's going to pay you. Listen, God's going to be no debtor to no man, and he's going to take care of you. And you know what? He's going to pay. Listen, you're not going to outgive God. And so I want to be trusted by the Heavenly Father. I want to say, listen, if I need to get this amount to this, I can overbless Jerry Ross, and he's not just going to run out and blow it. He's going to come to me and say, Lord, this is, wow, I didn't expect this. So what's it for? What's it for? And you know what? Like I said, sometimes God gives me the green light. You know what? You need to do something for your wife. You need to do something. This is to help one of the kids that are living for God. This is to be a blessing to one of the grandkids. Well, thank you, Lord. Well, a lot of times it's not. God's like, well, since you asked, what I really am trying to do is get this amount to them. Sure. Now, I want you to show them the love of God like I've showed it to you. And so I get an opportunity. Well, this is fun. Then I get an opportunity to go and be a blessing to somebody else. And not so that they will think I'm wonderful, but so that I can say, hey, let me tell you about a God that is so good and so generous. And you know what? This came into my life. And you know what? I prayed, and God directed me to you. And God wants to bless you. And he just let me have a little part of it. And I want you to be thankful to the Lord. It came from him. Man, that's a great way to live. The last thing, I want to create thankfulness in others towards my Heavenly Father. I love verse 11. Be enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. And that's what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm thankful when God gives it to me. I go over and help somebody else and create additional thankfulness to God. That's God's getting double whammy. I mean, he's getting he's getting twice the thankfulness. And what if he said, if I'm thankful and I give it to this person and they're thankful, and then they take a part of it and say, well, you know, this is really more than we need. And they, you know, all the thankfulness that's created in people's heart towards God when we do the right thing with the blessings that God has given us. Look at verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints. So the administration of this service not only supplies the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So he said, not only is God using you to meet the needs of another saint, but you also produce in that saint an abundance of thankfulness unto God. Amen. Ah, it's a good way to live. It's a great way to live. We just signed up for it. You know, we've been married for 35 years, and we just signed up for it. And you know what? I get the most, I wish I could tell you all the stories, but God puts stuff in my care all the time. And most of the stuff that I get, I know I just have for a little while. Every once in a while, God will just let me, someone will give me something that's just so neat. So, and I mentioned this to our class this morning, but you know, did I mention this? And I don't know if I mentioned the service this morning. We were out on this trip. And boy, the Roswell thing, that's going to blow up. I wish I could go into that more, but wow. People are wanting to know. I spent several hours in Roswell, and I've got a documentary. I produced a video proof of some things that are just, but I got to be careful because Big Brother's listening right now. So, but when I get this all put together, I'm going to start negotiating with the History Channel. We're going to do something. I don't know what, but... But I've blown the lid off this thing going on in Roswell. It's crazy. But my wife was so excited that I spent those 3 hours running around Roswell with my phone documenting and doing this documentary and exposing all of the things. Anyway, again, we probably better cut that out of the sermon because I know Big Brother's listening. But then my wife, she likes to go antiquing. So we stopped at a few antique stores. And you know, one of the things that I've always wanted, this is... I don't need it, but I like it, and I wanted one. But how many of you ever seen the Frederick Remington, the guy that does the bronze sculptures of all the Western? How many know what I'm talking about? All right, good. I mean, those things, if you ever seen one, they're amazing. And they're cowboy everything. Those things start at $200 and go up. I'm not spending $200 on a bronze sculpture, you know. But so I walk into this antique store and I'm looking, and in this glass case back in the back, there's a Frederick Remington bronze sculpture this big called the Rattlesnake. If you know his work, it's this horse that's bucking off its rider, and it's in bronze, and there's a snake down below, and it's made the horse rear up in the air. It's cool. I mean, it's cool. And I told the lady, get that out. I'd like to look at it. She gets it out, and it says $40 on it, and it's crossed out and says $30. And I got it for $30. And it's so awesome. I love it. I mean, it's sitting on my mantle, and I just keep standing there staring at it like, wow, this is, I can't believe I have this. This is so cool. But I can tell you already what's going to happen to it. I can tell you what's going to happen to it already. You know, God gives me stuff to enjoy for a while. Get this, I'm done. Listen, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't own anything. And neither do you. It's just some of us realize it and some of us don't. Everything I have is lent. And so God will let me, aren't you glad? God, come on. God looks down and sees Jerry Ross, that knucklehead Jerry Ross. Bless his heart. He's confused most of the time, but he's got a good heart and he's trying to do right. And I don't know why God's like looking at me. What's the big deal about a Frederick Remington? I don't know, but he wants one. God says, all right, okay. Get this person in this antique store and help them to be confused so they don't know what it's worth, and put 40 on it, mark it down to 30. And I walk in there, and you know what, folks? I can't tell you how many times I said, like, Lord, thank you. I can't believe this. Thank you. Do you know I've always wanted this? This is so cool. I'll go home tonight and just walk around the mantle going, that is so cool. I pick it up. Man, it's heavy. That is so neat. Set it down on the coffee table. Whoa. And I know what's going to happen. You know, a year from now, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, I'm hoping maybe 3 years from now, some preacher, some missionary will come through. Somebody just needs a little extra encouragement. Sure. And God's going to go, what? He's going to say, get ready to get cheerful, son. Say, you've enjoyed it? Yeah, I have, Lord. It's been fun to have. Yeah, well, it's time to pass it on. Where do you want it to go to, Lord? And you know what I'll do? I'll take that thing, and I'll hand it to somebody eventually. Some of you are going to come to me afterwards and say, you know, I've been praying about it. And I'm going to hand, and you know what I'm going to see? I'm going to see the wonder on their face and the excitement of giving that. And I'm going to feel the same way God felt when he led me into a little antique store and said, watch what I'm going to do for him. Yes, sir. And it's going to get passed on. I mean, I don't know what else to say to you except if God can trust you to just be this guy, there's going to be more things passed through your hands than all the stuff you can stuff in your pockets. And you know what? Along the way, God allows you to have some neat things and do some neat things. But you know what? At some point, Brother Brian Morris, I'm just going to say this about him. He said something to me several years ago. We were talking about that motorcycle you had. And I was sitting there saying, man, alive, man, he was talking about this unusual motorcycle guy. And I said, man, that's really, he said, preacher, it's just, yeah. He said, it is. I enjoy it, but it's firewood. It's just firewood. And I remember looking at him so strange. I go, what do you mean, firewood? It's a motorcycle. He said, it's just going to all burn up one of these days. I mean, God gives us to us for a while to enjoy some stuff, but I mean, you can't get all caught up in it because it's just firewood. You realize all that stuff is just firewood? You watch selfish people work two jobs, him and her both working jobs, and they buy and they buy and they hoard and they hoard. And they collect and they collect and they live 80, 90 years and die. And some auctioneer in 3 hours will sell off everything they have for about a tenth of what it was worth. To some other people that are going to hoard it and hold on to it and think that, wow, look, and then they're going to die. Listen, it's okay to have stuff. Just don't let stuff have you. The most important things are not things. The most important thing is to live our life being like God. And God is a blesser. Let's be thankful for that. Let's be good stewards of what He's given us. Properly, because that's what He's going to decide. I will multiply. See, this grading system is going to determine the 2020 seeds given. And what's done in 2020 is going to determine the 2021. And then let's just have a cheerful spirit about it. Man alive. Funnest thing in the world is to live the life of a giver. Best thing in the world is to live the life of a giver. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to just spend more time bragging on you. I'm having trouble shutting down because this is so true and so dear to my heart. And Lord, I want to be better at it. I'm not where I ought to be. I haven't arrived in this area. I could do so much better. I'm still too selfish too many times. But Lord, thank you for what you have taught me through the years. And thank you for loving the cheerful givers. And thank you for trusting those of us who have proved ourselves trustworthy. You're the one, Jesus, you're the one that said, if you'll be faithful in that which is little, I'll make you faithful over that which is much. And Lord, I think you're grading us. You're watching us. Here's another year coming to an end. A lot of folks don't understand. Well, preacher, I don't feel like we live a blessed life. We need to look at our report card. We need to be honest before God. Are we trustworthy? Are we faithful? Will we do the right things with what God has given us? Because, Lord, for those that prove themselves in this area, you said that you're more than able to give the sufficiency of all things, so that we can use it to every good work. Thank you for this day of preaching on this subject, and really one sermon, two parts. Lord, I pray that we'll just launch into the rest of this year, this week, just looking for opportunities. What has God lent us that we've had long enough? We got to enjoy it. It was good. What is it that we would not, if God talked to us about or touched our hearts about, we're just too attached to pass on? Or to sell, or to move those finances and funds into a more productive place. Lord, help us to really check our hearts out. It's okay to have stuff. It's not okay for stuff to have us. Thank you for all that we are allowed to enjoy, for whatever time you let us have them. But Lord, help us to always be willing and happy to take what you've blessed us with and pass it on to be a blessing somewhere else. We pray these things in Jesus' name.